Jesus, with his illustrations, and Paul, with his scripture, said they use great plainness of speech.
Right.
Salvation is not some complex riddle.
Bless God, that's right.
You need not have computer technology to understand. It is plain, it is simple, what you must do and can do to be saved. Would it stagger your imagination for me to tell you God wants to talk to you? The pleading of the heart of God. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Glory to God.
If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword.
Right.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Thank
Jesus in 5:32 of Luke announced it this way, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
In another measure, he said, John 12:47, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. In fact, the whole mission of Jesus can be capitalized and capsulized also in one verse, 19:10 of Luke. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It isn't God's will that you be lost. I read in the 3rd chapter, verse 9 of 2 Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 said it in another way. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?
Hallelujah.
In fact, 1 Timothy 4:10 said, For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. It was said of Jesus in 2 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus left it on record in 11:28 of Matthew, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Can the saints of God say amen to that? So I declare to you tonight, God don't want to see you lost. This church gathered in this assembly tonight in an evangelistic outreach does not want to see you lost. 22:17 of Revelation verifies that. And the Spirit and the Bride, which is the church, saith, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let the saints say freely.
Freely.
We don't care if every sinner in here drinks deep of the Spirit of God, do we? We don't care if every backslider in here prays through again, do we? We don't care if every disease sick individual here receives complete healing, do we? We don't care if God freely rolls away mental oppression and mental blocks and heavy loads. We don't care if the Spirit moves freely. That's what we're gathered here for tonight. So the heartbeat of God is for you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven and to be saved. I introduce this now. The 3rd chapter of the book of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Pharisees were a very strict religious sect, the most strictest in Jesus' day. They crossed the T and dotted the I. And they were very adept in keeping the law of Moses. This man named Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, meaning he was a member of the Sanhedrin, that august body of 70 elders that governed the religious affairs of Israel. He was a learned man, much like a member of our Supreme Court. He was a learned man. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. I suppose tonight if I was to ask you, son, and if I was to ask you, young lady, and mom and dad, what you think about Jesus, every one of you would say, oh, he was a good man. He was a teacher come from God. And when I read the water turned to wine, I believe he did that. When I read Lazarus raised from the dead, I believe he did that. When I read that he opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes, I believe he did that. And you would say, I believe he made the lame leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb to sing. He made the deaf ears to open, and he also made the lepers clean again. And he also cured all manner of diseases. You believe that tonight? Let me build on that simple faith that Jesus was more than an historical personage. He was more than a man of destiny. He was more than a carpenter's son. He was more than a Nazarene or a Galilean. He was more than Mary's man-child. He was more than that. I want to tell you about him tonight. He was the Savior of the world. He is the giver of life. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. He is the one that can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. And if you need help tonight, he is the helper. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, as we go along, it's going to get a little tough. But you see, God wants you to be saved, but there are certain qualifications. And there are certain requirements if you want to be saved. And first thing Jesus says right off the crack of the bat, he says, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. He introduces this phrase, born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You notice here tonight we're talking about the kingdom of God. Not Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. We're not talking about some man-made idealistic kingdom. Not some Buddhistic conception of nirvana, and not some utopia on the face of this earth, not a model city. We're not talking about anything man has anything to do with. This is a kingdom that God is the king, and God is the giver of life, and God is the one that blesses. Now we're talking about another kingdom. Well, you've got to be born again to be into that kingdom, and you've got to be born of water and spirit. The kingdom of God. What do you mean, preacher? Well, define it briefly. 4:20 of 1 Corinthians said it's not in word, but in power. I like that. A lot of churches major in verboseness and gobbledygook and a lot of words, and they never say anything. They promise a lot, and you go in, it's as dead as a hammer, solemn as a tomb, and quiet as the grave. But brother, when you see a name Pentecostal on the door, there ought to be some Holy Ghost action in the pew. And this is an apostolic church, and at any moment there's liable to be an explosion. I'm not up here as some maestro of some orchestration. I'm not here as a ringmaster of a three-ring Barnum and Bailey circus. I'm standing here only as a sinner saved by grace. I received an experience from God, and just any time I'm liable to have a fit. Hallelujah. Just any time I'm liable to go wild, because I've got something tonight that the world can't give and the world cannot take away. So it's not in just word, it's in power.
Power.
Jesus in 1:8 of Acts told his disciples, "You shall receive power after." Everybody say after.
After.
That the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now notice 14:17 of Romans. It said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is intertwined, intimately connected, baptized, and interchangeably linked with the Holy Ghost baptism. You can't have it without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." I don't care how pretty you are, how slick your hair is, how fancy your suit or clothes, and how big a degree behind your name. You in your present state of flesh, blood, gristle, marrow, bone, liver, lungs, heart, head, ears, fingernails, toes, and feet, you just can't get in it that way. But there's another one of you living inside. There's another man of you living inside. And that inner man, he can be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! That's what I'm talking about now. So flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want you to notice also these words that Jesus said. 21:31 of Matthew. He said, "The publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you," speaking to the Pharisees, "in their self-righteous satisfaction, in their smug holiness. They thought they were all right." Jesus said, "You hypocrites, while you're sitting there looking on this, an old Pharisee, an old publican and an old drunkard and an old harlot, he'll just come in or she'll come in and go right into the kingdom of God." You know what I think we need sometimes? We need the town drunk. And we need the town gambler. We need somebody that knows they're no good, they're sinners, they haven't done anything worth too much with their life, and they know they need help. And they come in and listen to the Word of God and realize that God's got some help for them, and here they come. But some of you sitting back there thinking, "Well, I'm all right the way I am. I don't need your Holy Ghost. Who wants all that emotional business anyhow? I've got a life ahead of me. I've got college. I've got a career. I've got money. I've got this. I've got that." And you're going to sit there and wither on the vine. Jesus said the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. There's something about this. You've got to want it more than anything else in this whole wide world. In fact, 5:6 of the book of Matthew said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Don't worry about it leaping on you. If you don't want it, it isn't going to leap on you. The one right next to you can have a Holy Ghost breakdown and you can sit there as dead as a hammer. It'll never leap on you if you don't want it. You've got to want this more than drink and food. You've got to want this more than life itself. You've got to want this Holy Ghost more than anything else in this whole wide world. In fact, Jesus said in 6:31 of the book of Matthew, he said, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Everybody say, first. You say, "Preacher, it's unreasonable for you to tell me I have to seek God first. I love my family, I love my children, I love my wife, I love my job, I love this, I love that." That's just the trouble. You're in love with too many things. Why don't you fall in love with Jesus? Seek first things first. Matter of fact, it's a different kind of love, this love with Jesus. Hallelujah! "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's what the Word of God says. But I warn you, don't play around with the Lord. You better mean business. 9:62 of Luke, Jesus said, "No man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You don't come up here and go through any monkey business and put on and act. You never get anywhere. Don't waste our time. And don't waste God's ears. If you don't mean business, don't even come. But if you're tired of sin, and you'd like to be in another kingdom, and you'd like to get another chance at life, if you'd like to have the slate wiped clean, if you'd like for the Lord to give you a brand new ball game, if you'd like for the Lord to say, "Here, I'm going to forgive everything wrong and rotten you've ever done, and I'm going to give you a chance to straighten up and be a man, or be a woman, or be clean, or be upright and morally worth something," come on, man, because the Holy Ghost is waiting on you tonight. The Holy Ghost is waiting on you tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, Jesus said to this Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water and Spirit. Water and Spirit. Jesus in 3:13 of Matthew walked 70 miles from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John. And some of you people don't think you have to be baptized. Jesus hot-footed it 70 long, lonesome miles to be baptized only for an example. Just because he wanted to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't have a sin. You don't believe that? Read 1 Peter 2:22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And so you see, he did it for an example. Don't you think we ought to follow his example? 1 Peter tells me, chapter 2, verse 21. For even Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. One of his examples is baptism. You must be born of the water. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 10:48, Peter commanded them to be baptized. This fellow had already got the Holy Ghost. That's right, Cornelius, he just got it. Been like some of you, you'd have jumped up and said, preacher, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. I got the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, tell me what to do. But they had just got it. And Peter says, I command them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I still say baptism is important. In fact, it's so important, it's likened in 1 Peter 3:21, in the day of Noah. You remember that? Noah built an ark. What for? To go sightseeing? To save himself. And the Bible said the like figure were unto even baptism does also now save us. Not bless us or help us, encourage us, but save us. The same water that saved Noah because he was in the boat also drowned the antediluvian age because they wouldn't get in the boat. Now, if you don't want to get in the name, and there's where the sanctity's at, there's where the sanctuary's at, there's where the security's at, there's where the safety's at, there's where the healing's at, there's where remission of sins is at, it's in the name. And the only place you're going to get it is water baptism. The like figure whereunto even water baptism doth also now save us. Amen! 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 Well, what do you mean, preacher? I mean simply that baptism must be administered the Bible way. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In fact, Peter was using the keys given to him in Matthew 16:18. He spoke and said baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Why didn't Matthew stop him? He, Matthew, heard him say that. And yet they repeat it again in Acts 8:16, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, about 8 years later after Pentecost, in Acts 10:48, he baptized them in the name of the Lord. And then in Acts 19:5, again, Paul rebaptized some of John the Baptist's converts. And if you don't think it makes any difference what's said over someone that's baptized, why did Paul rebaptize some of John the Baptist's converts? They had been baptized. I'll tell you why. They were in the dispensation of grace. And in this dispensation, from the day of Pentecost until Jesus comes, the only valid baptism is in the name of Jesus. If you haven't been baptized that way, you have not been baptized. 6:3 of Romans said, know ye not so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. 3:27 of Galatians, for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ. 2:12 of Colossians, buried with Him, not them, buried with Him in baptism. Oh, I've been born of the water because the name of Jesus is the name that remits sin.
Amen. Glory, glory, glory.
24:47 of Luke, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. Everybody say in His name. Among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. It's in His name. In fact, 10:43 of Acts declares it. To Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name. Everybody say through His name. Hallelujah. I love that name, don't you? That through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. You know what the Lord's doing through His name? Let me tell you what He's doing. Acts 15:14 tells me what He's doing. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. What do you mean? Verse 17 said that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom My name is called. What do you mean? I'm saying there's a people today that's called by that name. 2:7 of the book of James said, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the wood which ye are called. I'm called by that name of Jesus. Why? Because I'm in the church. What do you mean, church? What's this word, church? Jesus used the word church in Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's His church because He bought it with His own blood. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. And also Acts 20 and 28. And also 1 John 3 and 16. I can't quote all these. Time won't allow it. But it's His church because He purchased it with His own blood. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm in that body. That body is His bride. 3 and 29 of this same book of John I'm in tonight said, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Now then, Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is His bride. In fact, I read in Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. When's He going to present it to Himself? I read it in the Bible in Revelation 19 and 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife. Not His first cousin, not His aunt, His wife. His wife. His wife. We are more than just friends with Jesus. We are more than just friends. We are His bride. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. What do you mean, preacher? Haven't you read 5:29 of Ephesians where it says, For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of His body. Of His flesh and of His bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. You see, God visited my heart one day, and He called me out of a world of adulterers, a world of fornicators, a world of homosexuals, a world of drunkards, a world of gamblers, a world of liars, a world of all kinds of bad things. And He said, I want you. If you'll take my name, I'll fill you with my spirit, and you can be part of my bride. Hallelujah! It may surprise you to know there is but one church in this world. There is but one. Ephesians 4 and 4 said there is one body, not two, one body. What do you mean body? What are you talking about? What's His body business? Listen carefully. Romans 12 and verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 says that, Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. 3 and 15 of Colossians. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in the which ye are also called into one body, and be ye thankful. Now what do you mean body? What? Tell me what this body is. I'm glad you asked that question. Ephesians 1 and 21 said of Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Listen to this. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head, H-E-A-D, not head, head, over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church. Oh, how many heads does your body have? This church has got but one head. His name is Jesus. We wear His name in baptism. We preach His name in repentance. Hallelujah! Now, how do you get in this one body? I'm glad you asked that question. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says it simply, For by one Spirit are we all, hallelujah, baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit into one body by one Lord, with one baptism, with one faith, who is one God, who is the one Father, who is above all, who has a name above every name. In fact, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am not egotistical tonight, but I'm saying Jesus is the head, the body is His church, and the church wears His name because it's His wife. over this common law marriage business. I've got a name pronounced over me. I'm Jesus' name tonight. Let's praise the Lord. Jesus looked at that man and he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Water, Spirit, water, Spirit, water, Spirit, water, Spirit. And that's what it is, my friend. You got to repent. You got to be baptized in water by immersion in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Not one candidate was ever baptized in the Bible anywhere with the words Father, Son, Holy Ghost pronounced over him in water baptism. You can't find one place. I challenge you. You can't do it. But I can show you Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5, and Romans 6 and 3 and Galatians 3 and 27 and Colossians 2 and 12 where they were all baptized in the name of Jesus. Don't you know what Jesus is? It's the salvation name of God. It's the salvation name of God. The Bible said in Matthew 1 and 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why, even if that word name means authority, he said, go call his authority Jesus. So that Jesus is the authority. So away with this business of authority. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. In fact, Acts 4 and 12, I repeat, states, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You said, wait a minute, preacher, father is a noun. Yes, but it's not a proper noun. Proper noun is not what we're talking about. It's just a noun. I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a husband. But I am not, that's not rather my name. So the proper name is Jesus. In fact, even if Father, Son, Holy Ghost were names, I say Jesus' name's above it. I already read to you Ephesians 1:21. It's above every name that's named, not only in this world, but lo and behold, when the mists have rolled away, it's above every name in the world to come. I wouldn't want to strut through the gates of heaven and find out, hey, what are you doing here? Well, I got the name of Jesus, so that's not the biggest thing around here. Don't you know there's another name bigger than that name up here in heaven, amidst the street of gold, and here before the white throne? Don't you know that that's not the biggest thing here? I'd feel awful. I'd take the tuck headed. But when I swing through the gates of pearl, I'm going to find out that name is just as big over there as it is down here. It's above every name that's named. Let's praise that wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now listen to me. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Everybody say water, Spirit.
Water
and Spirit. He cannot. Oh, they can put you in this choir. I hope they don't. They can let you teach a class. I hope they don't. They can put you on this trustee board. I hope they don't. They can let you play this piano or organ. But I hope they don't. They can let you preach in this pulpit. But I hope they don't. Because Jesus said it, and that's the requirement, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I can't lower it any lower than that. I'm sorry, son, but it's this or hell's going to be your portion. Don't you hear me? Jesus in Luke 13 and 3, and I wish you'd search these scriptures out. I'm not pulling these things out of the air. It's right in your Bible, and you're going to meet it at the white throne of judgment if you reject the message tonight. Jesus said, Luke 13 and 3, he said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, that don't sound like some fancy Sunday school picnic to me. That sounds like it's turn or burn. That sounds like you better get down to business or you're going to hell. It's repent or perish. It's water and Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You gotta be. You just gotta be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou the master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice the word begotten. That means a day in which he was born. I can show you the day. Luke 2:11. Unto you is born this day. This day. In the city of David. I'd hate to think I served a God that got born. That's the day Jesus came in the flesh. Hallelujah. That's the day he came into the world through the womb of the Virgin Mary. You hear me tonight? Begotten is diametrically opposite to eternal. The word eternal Son is not in the Bible. The words God the Son is not in the Bible. We don't believe God eternally exists in three separate and distinct persons, but we do believe in three manifestations of one God. You see, it's like this. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You see, it's like this. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You see, it's like this. The Father dwelleth in me, Jesus said. 1 Timothy 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5:19, and John 14:10, consecutively. Oh, believe this preacher tonight. Jesus was born. The flesh came to die for your sins and for mine. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, everybody say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Look at somebody and say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be, everybody say it, saved. Say it again, saved. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
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 Might be saved. Oh, I thank you. He come to save my soul. Hallelujah. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, you don't have to do a thing to be lost, lost, lost. You're already lost. What do you mean, preacher? Haven't you read, son, 51:5 of Psalms? Read it when you go home. Don't read anything I said. You read Psalms 51:5. Let me tell you what it says. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And there's not a man living that's good enough to save you. There's not enough money. There's not enough education to save your lost soul. But Jesus, son, he's able to save you. There's people here tonight could testify to the fact they were hopeless, forlorn, in the gutter of sin, wallowing in the muck of despair, when they heard a gospel preacher preach Jesus, and they came to him. And what do you know? The foolishness of preaching saved them that believed. What do you know? Jesus rescued me. How many of you feel that way about it tonight? Listen, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is that name? Surely you're not dumb. What's the name of the only begotten Son of God? It's not only begotten, it's not Son. You don't call him Son. You holler, son, all of us will turn around. You say, well, now we know who we're talking about, Jesus, the son. Yeah, but he also is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, Amen, Angel, Ancient of Days, Anointed Apostle, Apple Tree, Honor of the Lord, so on and so forth. But he's got a name, just like you've got a name. You've got a name. He's got a name. But there's a difference between your name and his. At the mention of his name, devils tremble. Sicknesses retreat. And sins are washed away. Oh, there's something about that name of Jesus. We have been accused by people that say, you Pentecostals, you think there's something magical about that name, Jesus. You got it right. You couldn't say it better as far as I'm concerned. You say, you Jesus name, people, you think there's some inherent power in just the mentioning of that name. You got it. Now you're knocking on the door. I've seen too many devils have to turn and flee at the name of Jesus. I've seen too many sick headaches, too many sicknesses have to go at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Let's all say it together.
Jesus!
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 Oh, hallelujah! Ooh, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. We love that name. In fact, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. 18:10 of Proverbs. In David's day, they trust in horses and chariots and sharp swords and big fortresses. 20 verse 3 of Psalms, David said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but... We'll remember the name of the Lord our God. And didn't we quote tonight, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name? If the devil's subject to it, then everything the devil has is subject to it. And that means tobacco. That means whiskey. That means every bad habit the devil's got is subject to the name of Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible, because even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He's condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Hallelujah.
And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Son, the reason you're not up here tonight is you've been doing things you shouldn't have been doing. Do you think for one moment the secret thoughts of your heart is not known to God? Listen to me, lady. Surely not for a million years do you think you can hide anything from God. The Bible tells me, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. 4:13 of Hebrews. Now you hear me. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. See, there's something about a nature, a human nature, that rebels against righteousness. That's because the devil's got you. That's right. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There's people not in this building tonight because they know what's going to be preached when they get here. There's people not sitting in these revival services because they know their sin will not be covered. But the Spirit of God will ferret, radar, guide them out. That's the God in heaven's truth. You're not sitting in some 4-H club. You're not sitting in some denominational church where we're going to just go through some sort of Sunday night revelry. You hear me? You're where the name of Jesus is preached. And the name of Jesus will smoke out sin. And the name of Jesus will find out all kinds of bad things. And the name of Jesus is able. It's able. It's able. But he that doeth truth. Everybody say truth. Cometh to the light. That his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. If you love the Lord tonight, you'll come to him. How many of you are glad with me that we came to Jesus one day? I'm going to conclude. I want you to listen carefully. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. Much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. And there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said to him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Listen to this. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Now, son, I want you to believe me tonight. There's no tricks in this altar. I am not, and neither is this church, resorting in any hocus pocus, open sesame, Houdini, sleight of hand, any kind of psychiatry, psychology, brainwash techniques. No, son, no. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. I can't remit your sins. I can't heal your body. I cannot relieve that mental oppression that's plaguing some of you. I only act as a conduit, and this church only acts as a go-between, but we can point you to one that's in this very building tonight with all the regalia of his power, with all the array of his glory. He's here tonight. Not a bankrupt Christ. Not an evicted Christ that went off the throne. But a Christ that has all power in heaven and in earth is in this building tonight. You can't receive anything except to be given to you from heaven. So God's got to give it to you. Isn't that right, saints of God? 1:17 of James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down. Everybody say, cometh down. Now, you do as you please, but as far as I'm concerned, you don't put no hand under nobody's chin and shake it real big and say, you get the Holy Ghost that way. It don't come that way. And you don't get in their face and spit all over them and try to get them to repeat your multi-syllabled words till you get your tongue all tangled up and say, repeat after me, doo-dah, 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 or some other sort of razzmatazz, sort of umani pani um hoopity holla holla me hooky, or whatever you want to say. It don't come that way. We're abetting the devil when we go in that route. Jesus don't need any help to talk. Only thing he needs is a yield heart and people that will give over to him. He'll talk. Don't worry about the tongues. It'll come. Who? But it's got to come down. I said, come down. Not worketh out, but come down. If we get a revival, we're going to have to pray it down, sing it down, preach it down, fast it down, and God's going to pull it out. Hallelujah. Read 1:17 of James if you don't believe me when you get home. A man can receive nothing except to be given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I'm sent before him. Look at this, verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth the bridegroom's voice, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. John was the best man. He introduced the bride to the bridegroom. And standing in Jordan and looking on the banks of that old river, when he heard that voice, he looked up and told them, there standeth one among you whom ye know not, whose shoes latchet I'm unworthy to unloose. He said in Matthew 3:11, he, that voice I'm a-hearing, oh, I rejoice when I hear that voice, John says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John said that not to the 12 disciples. He said that to the whole crowd assembled on the Jordan banks. He said, every last one of you, that voice standing among you, he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many found that to be the truth? Let's stand together. You need to be making your way down that aisle right now. To come and pray tonight. Come on, young man. Come on, young lady. Backslider, sinner, come. Raise our hands and sing it to the Lord tonight. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Make your way to the front tonight.